Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And welcome once again to Straight Talk, where we do it Monday through Friday, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, all things York County, whatever's shaking up and down I-77. You'll hear about it right here on this program with Manning Kimmel, this, of course, being the South Carolina Broadcast Association's 2019 Public Affairs Program of the Year, and you will find out why today. We've got a dandy for you. Our broadcast is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. By Comborium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road, across from Winthrop University, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your eyes. Our streaming provided by highspeedweb.net, 24/7, 365 days a year. Well, as I said, we've got a barn burner today because education is a topic. It's a hot topic, front and foremost, not only here locally, but nationally and all over the state. You've been hearing about it in our news. State legislatures debating an education bill as we speak. We have today from the Rock Hill School District a couple of good friends, Brian Vaughn, who is the executive director of facilities, and, of course, my fellow Wildcat fanatic, Michael Frost, is with us, the director of marketing and communications. And gentlemen, let's dive into it. You want $294 million, huh?
We do, and we believe we've put together a plan with community input that sets us into a position to prepare our students and our staff for the next 10 years and beyond. We call the plan the One Plan, and we're looking at implementing our vision for the year 2020 and beyond. I'll let Brian kind of jump in and describe some of the projects that we've got planned and then the justifications behind them.
Well, thank you. And first of all, thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity today. So a little bit about our schools. 33% of our campuses are built in the 1940s and the 1950s. 57% of our campuses include buildings that are over 40 years old. So we have a comprehensive plan, as Mr. Frost said, and we're looking at approximately 32 different projects with this bond. Some of the larger programs and philosophies that we're looking at is safety, security, and savings investments, which will be at all sites. So every school within the district will see some type of safety, security, and savings investments, which is Rock Hill School's number one priority, along with our superintendent's number one priority. At Sunset Park, we have a building that is in the back part of the building, in the part of Sunset Park. It is a two-story building that does not meet ADA compliance at this point in time. So we would like to remove that building and build a new wing for Sunset Park. So they have a lot of conversations about whether or not we want to replace buildings or if we want to renovate buildings. So this is a good example of kind of doing both. We have spent money in the past 2015 bond renovating Sunset Park. So at this point in time, with the two-story building that, again, that does not meet ADA compliance, we would like to replace it and then add on to the existing school that we have already spent money on over the last 5 years, renovating the cafeteria, sprinkler system in the building, and some modernizations to the classrooms. We would like to look at 1971 York Road Elementary School. It is a 58,000 square foot building, holds 644 students. We would like to replace York Road Elementary School on that same property for a 106,000 square foot building that will hold 900 students to give an opportunity for us to expand our school of choice programs, possibly the arts program at York Road. Again, we have enough site, we have enough property on that site to be able to build the build and leave the students in place. And then when the new building gets built, we can actually move the students into the new building. But again, it gives us an opportunity to expand our school of choice program and our arts program. Renovations and additions to ATC, which is our Applied Technology Center, and which, in my opinion, is one of the hidden gems within Rock Hill Schools. Yeah. Phenomenal, phenomenal force that we have there, teachers, staff, and the things that they're able to do there. But it's a 1973 building, and nothing has changed since 1973. So, you know, for the last 40-plus years, you ride by ATC, and it looks identical. So we would like to expand ATC to additional programs, but also to modernize that building. construct a new elementary school in the Northeast. We get a lot of questions about why we're looking at doing this. Kind of our story right now is we have older schools and some of our schools are underutilized, but in this area, in the Northeast area, the city is expecting another 400 to 500 homes being built in the near future. The county's expecting approximately 200 homes being built. We are looking at the Panthers coming to town in that vicinity, and we just think, and through our demographic study, that that is an area that we need to look at for expansion. Replace Sullivan Middle School. We get a lot of questions about this. It is a 1957 building, and if you've been around Rock Hill enough, you do know that it is or was the Rock Hill High School. So our facility staff, our custodial staff, our food service staff do an incredible job of maintaining that building. And when you walk into the building, it is clean, it looks great, but it's what you can't see that really worries us. Kind of like with the city in the fall having the water line break,
right,
which affected all of our schools and pretty much the entire York County. What worries us is what's behind the walls, above the ceilings, and below the floors. Again, 1957 building. Our facilities employees, again, do an excellent job of maintaining it, but there are issues there that we need to address, so that is why we're looking at replacement of Sullivan. We get a lot of questions on whether or not that building will be built on site or will we be looking at additional property. We have not made that decision yet. There is property there that we, you know, if we wanted to remove Sullivan and rebuild, we could, but we have not made that decision. In 2019, in our previous bond, we were able to expand our arts program at Northside, a brand new 2019 building, absolutely beautiful with a performance area. But it sits adjacent to two 1950-year-old buildings that need to be removed. Single-loaded corridors, which mean they are not energy efficient. So we would like to remove those two buildings and replace it with parking in that area and then be able to expand Northside in the future. Rock Hill High School, Northwestern, and Rollison Road, all 1970s buildings, 50 years old. We would like to spend some money there doing some renovation and modernization to all of those locations. Again, it's the infrastructure. It's what you don't see that's really concerning in those areas. We are looking at renovations or replacements for the Rock Hill High and Northwestern auditoriums and district stadiums. We are not made a final decision if we will build stadiums or auditoriums on those sites. And we get a lot of questions. Do we have property both at Rock Hill High and Northwestern to do the expansion? And the answer is yes. We have property behind ATC that could be utilized for Northwestern. And there was a piece of property that the district bought several years ago that's adjacent to Rock Hill High School, which gives us some capabilities there of expansion. So those are kind of some of the key project summaries for the next 5 years.
Now, you mentioned the auditoriums. I'll start with that. They're getting ready to put together an auditorium downtown Rock Hill, of course, $60 million. Have you guys talked to the Arts Council, or is there anything there as far as partnerships are concerned?
So the district does have involvement in processes with the Arts Council, and actually one of our senior staff members participates in those conversations. As it relates to the functionality of that building and it being off-site compared to an expanded facility on our high school campuses, presents some logistical considerations that would be challenging to us to maximize use during the daytime for the school day for our student needs. We are certainly open to opportunities to partner with the city and anyone else for that matter who may open a facility in town. We mentioned the Panthers and the prospect of them coming to town and the facilities that they will bring. So there certainly is excitement and energy around new facilities and the growth of our city. One example that we have recently used is the new Sports and Events Center downtown. We had a conflict at one of our middle schools, and so we were able to have, I believe it was Castle Heights and Sullivan Middle School, played the first middle school basketball game at the new Sports and Events
Center.
That
had to be a thrill for those youngsters.
Certainly a unique opportunity and thrilling to play in that world-class environment there as opposed to their current gymnasiums. So will there be partnerships that naturally evolve? Absolutely. What will they look like? To be determined.
You have a history of spending your money well. I mean, in April of 2005, as Brian just mentioned, you had a $92 million referendum where you came out of it with two new elementary and one middle school, which is very impressive on its own right there. In May of 2015, there was a $110 million bond referendum that provided, of course, safety and energy efficiency that he mentioned, upgrades there. building system upgrades, you know, equipment that has to be up, because anything that has a moving part, including us, has to occasionally be replaced or worked on. And you replace those outdated old activity buses, you know, and again, came away with another new elementary school. There were no tax increases to the taxpayer at the time. So roughly it's been 11 years since taxpayers have seen an increase, but this now, a a $294.8 million bond referendum. You got 32 projects there. You got the master plan. Brian was just describing the one plan. How does the one plan and the master plan, you know, correlate? How did you get all that together?
Because first of all, thank you for the acknowledgement and observation that throughout the history we have done a tremendous job being good stewards of our citizens' money here in Rock Hill, whether it's the 96 bond, the 2005 bond, or most recently in 2015, is that each of those have been very specific to identify needs. And that's the same with this current plan. It's not a wish list of dreams.
No.
It is identifying through multiple in-depth studies and research what is broken and what needs to be fixed and what can be enhanced. So it is definitely not a nearly $295 million wish list. But with that, we have been very purposeful in limiting that amount. And yes, it will involve a tax increase. Certainly anything of that value would involve a tax increase. And to your point, Stephen, we have not increased debt service taxes on our businesses in 11 years. And so that's something to be celebrated. But it certainly comes a time where, like us, and parts have to be replaced, we have to now begin this next phase of capital improvements in our school district. And we've controlled the cost as best we can to $294.8 million with a modest tax increase, given that we've not done one in 11 years, that we would see an increase of businesses. Valuation of a $100,000 business would see a $159 increase, and then homeowners would see, for every $100,000, they would see a $106 increase. So recognizing what the community will get, how the community at large will benefit, we believe this is a sound investment for our students, for our district, for our staff, and for the community.
And I think one thing we need to clarify, when we were talking about the key project summaries, there is only one new school that we're looking at adding. Sullivan and York Road will be just replacements, but only one new school. And I do appreciate, just like Mr. Frost said, of you recognizing what we've been able to do in the last few years with our bonds. And I don't know that people really realize that we have 90 buildings in the school district. We have 3.5 million square feet that we maintain. And I always like to tell people that if it's a 2,000 square foot house, then we maintain over 1,700, 2,000 square foot houses every day. So if you think about your own house and think about things that go wrong, at some point in time, you have to make changes and you have to update and retrofit.
Well, the growth is here.
Yes.
This is, you know, your county has the distinction of being the biggest growing county in the country. Okay. So obviously, people are coming. You can only do so much with what you have, and if you need more, then the reality of it, like it or not, is you need more.
Yes, sir.
So how do you feel about the likelihood of this passing? Because the referendum will be held on the 31st of this month. You like the chances of this passing? I mean, there's a wonderful presentation that's on your website. It's, you know, the school district that is 10 minutes long, so you can't get bored with watching it. It's easy to understand. You've talked to teachers, administrators, and parents essentially here and gone into the classrooms, and it's very well put together and done from production and aesthetic standpoints and everything else, but it is what it is. How do you feel as you get ready for this referendum?
Yeah, we are very optimistic that our community will continue to support the vision of the school district as they have in the past. We have by the time that we get to March 31st, there will have been over 95 presentations to our staff, to various community organizations, civic groups, civic clubs. So we are doing our due diligence and getting the information out as best we can. There is a committee separate from the school district that can advocate position for the the passage of the referendum, where we as state officials and district officials cannot do that. So there is a separate movement that is in process to get that word out, so separate from us. But the information that we've gathered and the research we have done, we conducted a scientific phone survey in the fall, which was very supportive. It's also studies and surveys with our staff have indicated more than 75% approval rating just within our own staff, many of which who call Rock Hill home and would be able to contribute to the outcome on March 31st.
Well, it's obviously it's an investment in the future, because these are our kids we're talking about, or our grandchildren, or, you know, whatever your age is. So you're directly affected by this.
Absolutely, and that's what's so excited about. I mean, so exciting for the community about this. I mean, this is for our students. It is for our staff. We want to be able to provide to our students the best learning environment and education process that they can for every graduate success, for South Carolina graduate success. So, again, I'm excited for the community. I'm excited for the school district, and I'm ready for March 31st to come.
Well, it's a very exciting undertaking, of course. We're going to take our mid-program break right now and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, that is brought to you by our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make, this is the pressure part now, boys, but you both have been here, so you know the drill. They make fresh tubs and salads right before your very eyes, and they do it in the most wonderful, magical way, as Manning says. And that way is...
Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is now open. This is Michelle Walk, ED Director at Piedmont Medical Center. Gold Hill ED is Fort Mill's first standalone emergency room, open 24/7, 365, offering all the services of a hospital-based emergency room with 12 treatment areas. Whatever the medical issue, our team of emergency medical professionals is ready to treat your family, well, when it matters most. Stop by the ED at Gold Hill Road and pick up a free first aid kit. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Alex, what makes Substation 2's corned beef so healthy?
That's easy. Substation's corned beef is all natural, just beef and seasonings, no nitrates or added ingredients.
Substation 2's corned beef sandwich is back, but only for a limited time. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back into our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday afternoon. Brian Vaughn is with us. He's the Executive Director of Facilities at the Rock Hill School District, along with my dear friend, the Director of Marketing and Communications, Michael Frost. And we're talking about the upcoming March 31st bond referendum, $294.8 million referendum to finance some 32 projects aimed to improve safety and security And our schools renovate or replace school buildings and, of course, enhance a number of items such as athletics and wellness programs, safety and security cost savings of some $32.3 million as a result of all this. And the renovation, modernization, and replacement of existing facilities will cost some $227.3 million, which is a big chunk of this, as well as the auditoriums, athletics, and wellness, another $35.2 million. You feel good about the chances of the referendum passing. We mentioned
yes,
in part one. Let's look at the other side of the coin. What is the plan should this referendum fail on the 31st?
So it would be detrimental to our school district and to this community. It would put us 10 to 15 years behind where we are right now. You have mentioned that we are looking at safety, security, and saving investments for all of our sites in this plan, 32 different projects. It would be – we would have to make decisions on – replacing roofs and doing things along those lines versus modernization for our students, being able to give them a flexible modern learner's environment. That is really what is expected today. When I was going to school, you were in a straight line in your desk and there was a teacher up front, and that is not the way our students learn anymore. So again, if this does not pass, we would not have the flexibility to modernize our facilities so our children can learn in 21st century learning capacity.
They're going to need that. It's a competitive, you know, they told us, I was class of 74, and we were told then, it's a competitive world out there.
Yes, sir.
Computers hadn't even entered the picture yet. You know, the computers they used at NASA to get onto the moon were the size of our refrigerators and such. Now, we hold in our hands more computer power in this cell phone alone, the Apple 11, you know, than what they had then to actually do this back in 1969. This is obviously a noble undertaking, so much so that it's been endorsed by the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce, Rob Youngblood, making us a release the other day. They're all for it, so obviously there's something to this.
We're grateful for the Chamber's support, not only with this program, but other ventures that we have and partnerships that we have, but for them as a business community to recognize the benefit to them, to their businesses, to their membership, that this is a good thing, a good investment, a wise investment of their business's dollars and of the community's dollars. We're grateful and thankful for their recognition of that and their support in this program. I can't end the show without us getting an information about what this plan would also allow us to do, and that's to expand our four-year-old kindergarten programs. Currently in the district, we serve about 500 four-year-olds.
Okay.
We know the following year in kindergarten, we're going to welcome anywhere between 1,250 to 1,300 five-year-olds into our door. So in the community, there's a void of 800 or so students that will be coming to us while they may be receiving early childhood education and preparation through other services.
The preschoolers is
preschoolers
who you're talking about now,
correct.
As we used to call it back in the day.
So we believe that if we are able to expand through the flexibility that we are allowing ourselves in this plan, that we could serve up to 1,000 students, that we'd be able to double, at least double the size of our pre-K programs. So currently we have about 24, 25 classrooms. And this plan would allow us to potentially convert an existing elementary school campus into a larger pre-K center, which would expand the services we currently offer at the Central Child Development Center, as well as a couple courses at the Applied Technology Center.
And being able to expand this program also will keep our K-4 students in school all day. We would not split. Currently, at our Central Childhood Development Center, we have a morning session and an afternoon session. And like Mr. Frost said, being able to utilize one of our existing buildings, we would be able to keep those students in school all day long, which would be very beneficial for when they're ready for kindergarten.
Well, not only that, but you have a parent in your video. And again, I come back to the video presentation. Again, cannot give you enough props and kudos as a guy that works on this sort of stuff as well. On the side, you have a gentleman there saying, listen, you know, we go to work for 8 hours a day and our children are in school a large part of that time. And that dovetails right back to, Brian, what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I would like to go back to, you mentioned it a minute ago, we do have a phenomenal staff at our central office. And Mr. Frost and Aaron Sheffield do a phenomenal job of making sure that our website is up to date. And the video that you're referring to is on our website. And it really illustrates why we are doing what we're doing, and it is all for our students and all for the betterment of the community, our students, and staff.
And an eye to the future. Go ahead and give out the website there.
For those of you that are curious about this video that Stephen keeps mentioning, we encourage you to visit our website, rock-hill.k12.sc.us/oneplan. That will take you directly to our information pages. You can dive deep into each of the 32 projects. You can watch the video, which we believe presents a pretty compelling case for why we believe this is a strong investment for our community. The video is not us speaking. It is individuals from our community. It's parents. It's business leaders. It's Mayor Geddes is in there to support the effort as well. So we do encourage you to visit our website and take a look at all the information we're providing. If you have questions, we do encourage you to email bond@rhmail.org. That's bond@rhmail.org. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. And if you're interested in a tour to visit any of our facilities to see what we're trying to update and why, feel free to, again, send us an email, bond@rhmail.org, and we'll coordinate with you an opportunity to visit each of our campuses that you have questions about.
You guys have always been very good about that, very hands-on, and, I mean, you know, it's an open book, but
we're trying to be very transparent.
Exactly. In this day of transparency, absolutely. You can't be too transparent.
Right.
You're right about that, Brian. In our final couple minutes, anything that I've missed here?
So we are excited about the opportunity. We're excited about the bond. We're excited about the community support that we are seeing for our March 31st vote. We're excited that we're going to be able to bring more children, our K-4 kids, into our school district to make sure, like we talked about a few minutes ago, that when they come to kindergarten, they are prepared for the future. We had a young man yesterday at our board meeting that was talking fluent in French, fifth grader at Cherry Park, and we want those opportunities for all of our students. We want the school of choice opportunities. We want the modern learners environment, and we want to make sure that our community and our staff and our children have the best learning environment that they can.
It is a $294.8 million bond referendum. You will be voting on it, the taxpayers of Rock Hill, coming up on March the 31st, and again, everything that you want to know about it is right there at the website that Michael just gave you, and 32 projects. This is the future, and the future is now, boys.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that. So vote your conscience. The hit is not that big, as you just mentioned earlier. On a $100,000 house, it's what?
$106.
And on a $100,000 business?
$159.
That's not hard to spread out over the course of 12 months. And,
For the homeowner, it's about $880 a month.
Yeah.
And to be fully transparent, there's also an impact to vehicles and other property. So for a $25,000 assessed value vehicle, the increase is about $49 or $3.30 a month. So it's, yes, is a small enough hit to be able to be spread out and managed by everyone.
And thank you for our community, and thank you for WRHI for giving us the opportunity to come on the news today or the air to have this conversation.
Well, we appreciate it, and there will be more conversations, I'm sure,
yes,
between
sir.
Now and the 31st. But I thank you both, Brian, Michael, for being here. It's great to see you as always. Go Cats, right? And now
Absolutely.
We got two teams to root for at the big dance. The Winter Beagles are going back dancing.
And we do. That's very exciting for our community as well.
We're all excited about that, indeed. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Straight Talk program. We will have a brief hiatus tomorrow because there's some Tigers that are trying to nail down an ACC crown, and they take their first step tomorrow. You'll hear that broadcast starting at 11:30. Hopefully, if they don't make it, we're back Thursday. If they do, Manning will probably see you Friday from the Oakdale Volunteer Fire Department. But first things first. Our broadcast is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads right before your eyes. How they do it?
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
We'll see you on the radio.